Hi, how's it going? My name is Eric Hoffman, Platform Strategy Advisor for Microsoft. We're here today at the New York Times to talk about some really cool new APIs that the gentleman from the New York Times put together. I have Derek Godfrey, Chief Software Architect here from the New York Times, and Nick, Senior Software Engineer from the New York Times, and we're going to talk a little bit today about the evolution behind the APIs that the New York Times put together. So, could you guys tell me a little bit about what kind of the thought process was behind these APIs that you guys put together, and also talk about, you know, the API, you know, the content choices that you guys made for the New York Times?
Sure. So, APIs, as we kind of move, so we're traditionally, you know, we have NewYorkTimes.com and we have the newspaper, and so as we've kind of moved and evolved over time in our experience on the internet, one of our goals is, our mission statement really is to create, collect, and distribute content. And so we have this idea where, as usually the newspaper and the writers here are creators, so the opportunity here is to really fill out our mission of creating a distribution by enabling a different kind of creation and not limiting creation to just within the walls of the New York Times. So using the resources of the New York Times as building blocks and allowing people to move from being just readers to users, as we've seen on the website. So previously you just read the newspaper, now you can actually go and do things on the website and become users, to really the kind of third stage, what we look at is creators. So then we've had this long-standing mission statement of creating, collecting, and distributing high-quality news and information. And so as we've moved to the internet, we've taken that mission and we've looked for ways to expand it. So the neat thing about what we've done is we think that creation no longer needs to be locked within the walls of the New York Times. Traditionally, it's where we create the content, and we think that the content that's been created can serve as a building block. And we can move from creator, we can now enable creation. So we used to have readers, and now we have users on the website. You can go and interact. You can, you know, find out all kinds of different information, navigate the way you want, submit stuff to us. And so we now have creation as well on the website. But the real piece that we're interested in, at least from the developer side, is enabling creation to happen from a group of developers. And so APIs allows us to fulfill our basic mission and expand that and let other people participate. Particularly in this sense, what we're talking about today with APIs is allowing developers. So it's really the, you know, developers are kind of the sacred people on the internet in terms of the people that are actually creating. And so, and distribution is pretty simple. You know, we've long been involved in the distribution. We have delivery trucks and newsstands. And so for the distribution side, this allows us to push our content into corners of the internet that we weren't previously in. And so instead of just drawing everybody to the website, it's actually pushing our content out. And so we had kind of analogous situation to the physical world, where you would see, you know, restaurant reviews taped inside windows, quotes on movie posters about New York Times reviews, our bestseller list. And so those things have a lot of value for us in terms of pushing our name and brand and our influence out in the physical world. When we move to the internet, there's a real opportunity to do that same type of operation. The benefit in the digital world is there's a way for them to provide links back to us. And so, you know, much in the same way we didn't, you know, ask restaurants to cut out newspapers and stick them in the windows, or the movie people to put quotes, those people were just allowed to do that and did that on their own. We want to enable developers to build really sophisticated applications, leveraging our content, creating new things, and distributing our brand, our message, and our content, and driving traffic back to us. I think that's what the real opportunity is. And so, you know, we built a bunch of APIs across a number of different areas to kind of fulfill that basic mission, leveraging the internet and new technology in terms of creating and distributing.
Interesting. So, you know, in terms of the content that you decided for the first release of these APIs, I mean, did you look at what historically has been the sort of the hot spots for the New York Times in terms of content people are really hitting on a daily basis, or was it stuff that we had a lot of historical data on it, or so what was sort of the process behind your selection of the content you picked for the APIs?
I think for the most part it was just we kind of just went through all of our data sources and we're like, what would make good APIs? What would be interesting? What would people want to use, right? Like, and a lot of it, honestly, was just somebody was like, hey, you know what? I bet you this would be a cool API. And we were like, cool. Knock yourself out. And they just kind of threw it together. Right?
And I think a lot of it really stemmed from stuff that we were already doing internally. So it was a matter of kind of cleaning it up, making it a little more professional and putting it out. So it was not a grand strategy of, you know, this is what we're going to do. But I think it did come from kind of a bottom-up situation where these were, you know, we were already using the bestsellers API, and we were already going to, you know, we already had a movies API, and, you know, we had article search. So a lot of these things are things that have come from internal, and we, you know, reworked them and made them a lot more accessible and standardized. But I think a lot of it is stuff that we were already using internally. It was really about sharing back those resources to the external to allow people to kind of have, in some ways, the same fun that we get to have every day building on top of this.
Interesting. So you mentioned before the notion of developers contributing and developers being able to craft, news content. So, you know, one of the things that we worked on together, of course, was we took your APIs and we applied a Silverlight toolkit to that. And, you know, with us doing that, you know, the notion of that, you know, we're going to reach a whole, there's about 500,000 Silverlight developers out there now. And we're hoping that, you know, between the toolkit that's basically a wrapper around your APIs, we'll reach a whole new audience of developers that will then contribute back news content to the New York Times. This has just been released, and we're in the process of going through, evangelism and some PR around that. So, you know, can you guys talk about, you know, how that's going to add to your, the content that's being produced and also how that's going to add to the consumption of your APIs that you guys created?
Well, like Derek said earlier, right? Like the APIs allow us to kind of reach places on the net that we weren't able to reach before, and I think the Silverlight kit does that. Just even takes that another step further, right? Like because it's so easy to use with the markup and the bindings and the data bindings and all that. I think to use our APIs, these Silverlight.net developers just download this tool, install it, and I mean, that's cool, right? Like you said, we reach places we've never been able to reach before. And the reason I like the APIs is there's a lot of really smart people out there that are going to come up with ideas and things that we haven't thought of ourselves, right? And they'll build that cool thing that we didn't even consider building, integrating it with other data. And I think that just is one step to making it easier to do.
So, yeah, one of the things we plan on doing with the New York Times this year is we have a number of industry events that we hope that you guys participating with us to help evangelize these, and there's a lot of developer conferences we have coming up over the summer and in the fall that we're going to be showcasing the toolkit at, and we look forward to enhancing and adding more APIs and also adding a little bit more sexy UI to it as well. I mean, the first version of the toolkit is out there. It's up on our CoPlex website. The source code is up there now as well, so you can download it and you can play around with the toolkit. But really, the relationship we want to have going forward is one where we're enhancing the APIs, adding more APIs to it, maybe for content we didn't think of, and also just making the toolkit much easier to use so we reach that, you know, broader reach to the developers. One thing I also was curious about as well is there been any notion about monetization of this toolkit and these APIs together? Is that something you guys have thought about? Or?
Sure. I mean, so this is a question that comes up a lot. I mean, in terms of the toolkit, it's, you know, open source, and we want it to be widely available. I think, you know, when we look at what the opportunity for the APIs are, is that, you know, our basic model is we do see it as a distribution mechanism. And so folks that are going to be heavy users of this, our basic model is we look to get a certain amount of traffic back based on their usage. If they don't provide us with traffic or they want to do something that's not driving traffic back to us, and it's a pretty, we're talking about a small percentage of traffic that needs to come back. We're going to ask for a couple dollars there. And so I think, you know, our hope is that people do build commercial applications on it, that we are able to provide something that's of real meaning and value, and it's making a difference in their business. And so, if it's a site or an application that's going to drive people back to us, that's great. We know how to monetize people on our site through display advertising and everything else we do. If it's something that's just going to take the data and live in its own site and its own application, then I think, you know, there's an opportunity for us to let those people monetize us and pass us back a couple dollars. So I think, we've kind of put it out there now, and we're starting to get a lot more inquiries about what the commercial opportunities are, but we certainly want people to build commercial applications on top of this. So we look forward to kind of of expanding that out for the rest of the year. That's a big focus for us.
Okay, great. Great. Well, like we mentioned before, the source code is out there on CodePlex, our Microsoft website. The APIs are available at newyorktimes.com. Go check out the APIs, check out the toolkit. So, hey, Nick, we were talking a little bit about the Serverlight toolkit. Could you, you work with some folks here at Microsoft. Could you talk a little bit about who you work with at Microsoft on developing the Serverlight toolkit?
Yeah, so I think the primary guy was Michael Schroeder. He's a UX evangelist, I believe is the title. He's done an amazing job. I mean, I think he pretty much did most of the actual toolkit work, and it's pretty cool. I'm impressed with what he's done.
Right. So I understand you guys are also going to be going to a series of industry events this year, Web2O conferences, and he's actually going to be evangelizing this at some of the conferences over the summer and over the fall of this year.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that maybe by some of the events that we have this fall, that there will actually be a version 2 of the toolkit out there, and maybe some new APIs as well that we can include.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I would encourage anyone, if they get a chance, to check out what Michael's done. I mean, hopefully if you're there at a conference, or I know he's done some webinars and stuff, but yeah, him leading this effort, really he picked it up and carried it forward and really helped us on our APIs, just kind of work through some of the nuances, so... He was a great addition and a great resource to work with, and I know he's out there talking about this at every opportunity. So I would encourage everybody to check out what Michael's done, check out the toolkit, and if you get a chance to hear Michael, it's pretty great.
Okay. I'd like to thank New York Times for working with us on this collaborative effort, and we look forward to some more industry events later this year.